Deke, and I'm an alcoholic. Dale, I want to thank you for inviting me to this. Had some trepidations, but as I've thought about it, it's become more and more comfortable. I appreciate all of you, and a lot of special faces here that mean an awful lot to me. So I thank all of you. I was anxious. Don't do any planning was advice I got. Well, I don't even think I go to the bathroom without reading the Consumer Report. so that wasn't helpful. The other one was, it's just like talking to your family. Well, all through grade school, high school, whatever, whether it was an event at church, an event at my school, or a sporting event, I wouldn't tell my parents about it. I didn't want them there for fear of screwing up. So I thought, well, family, you're not going to have your family here. And then I realized, oh, yeah, you are. And then in just a few short months, you have become my family. You're who I rely on when I got to talk. But my family's not alcoholic, and they don't understand. So your family. So that's kind of a problem, true. Several people, as I've walked in, are you nervous? And I said, no, I'm not nervous. And I'm trying to figure out, well, why are you not nervous? And I think somewhere in the last week or two, I made the transition from believing in God to trusting in God. Mm-hmm. And so I quit making notes. I quit making notes, but you know, I don't have them all down in an outline. And I figured, well, I'm going to trust God to do that. And as I sat out in my car, my parking lot prayer, you know, Lord, guide my thoughts. If you don't like the ones I'm getting ready to say, then make me forget them. Certainly made me forget a lot of other crap. And if there's one missing, you know, when there's a void, I understand you're supposed to fill that void. So fill it up with what you like. And I said, Lord, I know you got a great sense of humor. Please don't use it tonight. Billy made a comment on that. He said, boy, now we like to do a good laugh at your expense or whatever. He said, we do. You're likely to get there, but you know what? It ain't going to be my fault. So anyway, my sobriety date, it's March the 10th, 2022. I've got a sponsor. I've got, I think, several home group, but I guess I've got one that really is my home group. I'm nodding to them. I do service work. I've done service work. I'm doing service work now. I enjoy it. It wasn't anything that it pretty well came natural to me. So many of the lessons I'm learning here, I've heard from my mom or in church. So the service work was, in Dixie's words, many hands make little work. And so that's always been there. So I like that. My roots. I grew up in East Tennessee, in a brand new subdivision. The area looks kind of like this. It was a brand new subdivision. A lot of returning World War II vets were building homes, starting families. A lot of people either work in Tennessee Valley Authority or Oak Ridge National Laboratories. So we had a lot of scientists and stuff like that. I had many, many moms. Next door was a mom behind me. But when you're in your mom's yard, and there was a bunch of them, she ruled. So, you know, my mom used a wooden spoon. Miss Ruth down the street used a little switch. So if you know her rules, nobody locked their doors. There was a pot of coffee. It was good times. I could walk or ride my bike. Everything that was important to me at school, a church event, baseball, football, whatever. Actually, football for the most part, baseball was in a field. They were just beginning to build that type of stuff in our neighborhood. Alcohol. The event growing up through grade school was cookouts. And maybe there was a beer. I don't remember that. There'd be Christmas events, not big parties, but somebody, really not parties, somebody come over to the house. And I remember going to my grandmother's in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. She lived on a farm, and she'd make taffy and homemade custard. And she'd get under the sink and pull out a pint of Four Roses. And if you were good, and you might even, some of the grandchildren might even got a little toast of that. And she put it back in there, and we'd get it out next year. Because they all say that's alcohol abuse. But that was what it was. So anyway, that was my bringing. Into high school, there wasn't much alcohol. And I talked to my brother and other friends, and yeah, there was a bootlegger. We'd go to a bootlegger on Sunday afternoons after we played sandlot football, and that was on the field across from our street. And maybe, you buy two beers and there'd be four of you and everybody get a sip. So I don't remember much of that. And under the I'm now under the heading of what was it like? Be honest with you, I don't know. It's hard. I mean, Billy's saying that, all these memories are in garbage bags in the back of my truck. I don't drive a truck, but they're back there. And every once in a while, one of them will come forward and here come some memories. And they're not, I don't DUIs in my record. One night, I spent 4 hours the DUI. I wasn't driving, but the guy I was with was. I'd been drinking. It was old country jail, and this was an opportunity for them to pad their coffers a little bit. We didn't. There was nothing on our records. We didn't get fined. Except he had $182, and I had $350. When we got our wallets back, each had $5 in it. So that's my no wrecks. That's not quite true. Did have one wreck. Now I'm in college. And your first drunk. I don't remember my first drunk. I remember some drunks. The first one I can remember is with a girl. She was drop dead gorgeous, and the fact she said she'd go out with them, and I was on cloud nine. So I got a pint of Jack Daniels and threw up on her. And I got over that until I got an AA, and damn, if about 9 or 10 months ago, her last name came to me. And about 3 months ago, her first name came to me. So I'd like to think that all these memories are gone, but they're not. And thank God, thank you, Lord, he shares them with me when he thinks I'm ready. And it's really happening. I mean, I believe that. And I remember that. You know what my reaction was? I just joined a fraternity. And my reaction was, oh, bad. No, she's not going to go out. I didn't really give a damn if she did or she didn't. What I was upset was I got sick on Jack Daniels. I'm in college. People drink whiskey. You've got to learn how to drink whiskey. And so I did. The other one was about a year later. And I'd, been to a frat party and was driving home. I didn't even get much out of the parking lot before I hit a parked car. Didn't leave a note, and got home, and well, my dad didn't have a lot of policies, but honesty was one of them. So I know I got to tell it. And I can remember holding on to the posters of the bed. Me and my mom were asleep. That said, "Lewis, I've been drinking. I wrecked the car. I'm sorry." I went downstairs to my room. About 20, 30 minutes, I don't know, it was 12. It's late. Comes down, he said, "Don't turn on the light. Where's your wallet?" Said, "It's on the dresser." He got it. I didn't know what he was doing, what he did. He was taking my driver's license. And he said, "We're going to see your mom in Hopkins, or my mom in Hopkinsville tomorrow morning. We're leaving at 6. I want three estimates on that car." This was Friday night. And I found one guy. Woke him up. He, in the yellow pages, he had his home number. I said, "Son, you're not gonna like the number I give you, but that's the best I'm doing. I'm not coming to see your car." And so we got in the car. He didn't even ask for the estimates. And back then, to go from Knoxville to Hopkinsville, we didn't have I-40, and so you're all through those country roads. My dad got his first car when he was 12 years old, so he knew what to do when he was behind the wheel. My brother and I are sitting in the back, he and my mom up front. He's got that rear view mirror right on me. And he's taking those curves like nobody's business. And finally, it's just about all I can do. He says, "Don't." Somehow I did. So I remember that. And most of the memories of alcohol are embarrassment. They're disgust. And the disgust or embarrassment comes when I've done it in front of somebody that I know that I love, somebody that I respect. Now, somebody I don't know, says something, that's water off a duck's back. On the memories, I mean, a couple of them this week. I'm out walking the dog 3 days ago, and I remember the cement was full before we came up here, and it's, I don't know, I'm retired at the time, and I'm walking the dog, and I'm drunk as I can be, and I walk by a school. There are kids in there. There's teachers, and I fall, and I can't get up. And I have to be pulled up by somebody. And "Have you been drinking?" I said, "Yes, I have." "Can you get home?" I said, "Yeah." I mean, the embarrassment of that. Once now, no jails, none of that stuff, but the embarrassments are under what it was like. And the shares that I've been relying on, like I say, having 3 or 4 weeks to think about this, it's made me listen to what people are saying, and it's the part of page 20. Yeah, that's me. That's what I did, and I'd forgotten that. And one of the most important, I mean, I've struggled since I've been in the program. When did it happen? Why did it happen? When did it start? And I couldn't figure it out. Well, this was a share recently by a newcomer. And he's 8, 9 months newcomer. And he's still drinking when he comes in. But he knows he wants it, but he hadn't been blessed just yet. But he described my situation. He retired from a very good job where he was a boss. People depended on him for things. Their salary, their bonuses came from him. He was on committees within the organization. He was in industry organizations. That's my situation. And he retired, or was retired. In my case, I kind of was retired. It was a young man's business. I hadn't done anything wrong, but they didn't need a 58-year-old guy running a company that the average age was 30 to 40. I knew that. I've known it for years, but it still has bothered me a little bit more than perhaps I thought. So I started drinking. This is in Memphis. We moved up here, and then I noticed that I was looking forward to the weekends because I didn't have to, when it may have started when I worked because I didn't have to do anything. I started drinking in the morning, and that didn't bother me. I really wasn't worried about it. And that day, I understand the progression because that turned from just being occasionally to a necessity. A necessity. I had had that drink before I went to the bathroom when I got up in the morning. I'd have never thought about that if I hadn't gotten into AA. But what he said was exactly mine. And then we moved up here. We have two grown children. We have three grown children, but two of them live in the Vienna Falls Church area. And that's where our grandchildren are. And that was 6 or 7 years ago. And they were two, three, six, and seven. And my wife says, they're not going to load up, fly, or drive to Memphis, Tennessee. They've got Christmases they've got to share. They've got excitement. Everybody's been through it. And so if we want to see them grow up, we got to get closer. And so she started out with mileage. It needs to be an hour and a half away from wherever they are. It's got to have water. And ended up Lake of the Woods. And saw the house online. And so we loaded up and moved. And got up here. Boy, she jumped into pickleball. She jumped into art. She jumped into this. She jumped into that. And every time she jumped, I cringed back. I went back. Well, you ought to get involved. They've got all this. You can do this. You can do that. I don't want to do any of it. And what did I do? I started drinking more. I love people there. Didn't go to the same liquor store because I wanted to make sure they didn't know I was an alcoholic. So yeah, that's good. And then the math. I got a major in math. And I was doing the math. How much are you drinking? Okay. How much are you drinking? And okay, well, that's not gonna get you till noon on so what's going on noon on so so I was pre-funding, buying this and hiding. Oh, what a wonderful job I was hiding. Nobody'd find where I hid. How many times have I gone to my hiding spot to find it gone? Sometimes he's plotting up with a note. Don't you think you've had enough? When's this gonna stop? So yeah, I did that, and I never knew this was what I was doing, but I became a bottom shelf shopper. I was doing the math. Inflation's going up, whiskey's going up. Da, 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 da. So first swap was from whiskey to vodka. There's a lot less calories in vodka. And you know how many calories you do BMR, da, 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 da. So I did all of that math. And then I don't think Tito's tastes any better than some of this other stuff I've never heard of. So I just go in and buy the cheapest stuff they had. And I think, I tried to trick these people. Oh, he doesn't come in here. He's new. That's da 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 da. How the hell could I be new when I'd walk in some little crummy looking liquor store and go straight to where they had the cheapest stuff? Because I got to get out of there before anybody sees me. Yeah. And that became worse and worse and worse. And I didn't get involved in anything. And I got a pacemaker and I'm on warfarin. I was on warfarin. And And as you all know, the purpose of the warfarin is to keep your blood low thin so that my risk of stroke is on average. But you can't eat vegetables, greens, which I love, which is a problem, and you definitely can't drink. So I even in Memphis, I was going from knowing mine was sky high. I mean, if I when I was drinking hard, if I would cut myself shaving, it was a day and a half before it stopped. One week when my wife she'd gone to took the kids down to Florida for a spring break or something like that, and I when I get to drinking, I'd start clean. I'd clean the stove, clean the fan blade. And so I figured, well, I got to get on this ladder and clean the fan blades. And, someone sober would have thought, turn that fan off. So I didn't. My concern was, how am I going to hide that neck when she comes back? That was all I was worried about. So anyway, we move up here, and one day I've done some yard work, and I come in and I tell Jill, I said, my neck feels like it's swollen. Does it look like it did? It looks a little puffy, but no. I mean, I can't tell that. Why don't you come back in an hour? So I came back in an hour. She said, oh yeah, it's swelling. So she calls our daughter, who's a ENT, and says, tell him to lift his tongue, take a picture of what's there, and shoot it to me. And it was a hematoma underneath my tongue. And she says, actually, I'd drunk the day before, but I wasn't having anything that morning. And she said, get him to the emergency room. And she said, we're going to the emergency room. And I said, well, I'll drive. She said, no, you're not going to drive. I'll drive. And I said, we got that minor emergency across the street. She says, Sarah says, get to the emergency room. So we go to the emergency room. And I'm sober, and I'm filling out the insurance card. I'm not hurting. And finally, they said, we'll see you now. And so they take me back in, put me on a bed. And the doctor comes in, and he's talking to me. Jill's back there with me. And he says, well, let's just take. And he stops. He says, man, we'll take it from here. And he looked at all the color in his face is gone. And then same thing, but I can read that. And then give me an MRI or something like that, and roll me about 20 feet into another little area. And there's four physicians, all green, decked up, masks, everything, gloves, whatever. 4 days later, I wake up, and I've had a tracheotomy. Or whatever. And interesting, and it's not on my it's in the records, but nobody's really talking to me about it. But I can remember saying his INR is the highest I've ever seen. Well, that's the measure. It's like a blood alcohol thing, but that's the level of you want it around 1.5 to 2. That's what a normal person. 3, you've got serious risk, and then it's exponential, kind of like a hurricane scale, exponential. Mine was 6 or 7, so I knew that alcohol was involved. And the story was, and it took them several years before they would tell me, my family would tell me much about that. But evidently, I was close, and they called an ENT. ENTs are the medical profession that is in charge of administering those. And my guy got caught, the guy that they signed, they got caught up in traffic. And so in walks this guy, and he's in to see his brother. His brother's been in an automobile accident. And he's just coming in to see him. He's a doctor. He happens to be an ET. And this has been told to me. And he looks at him and says, "What y'all doing?" And they got something they're trying to shove this tube down my throat. He says, "That ain't gonna work. Give me a scalpel." So he grabs a scalpel, he cuts me. I got his name, wrote him a letter, but I think he saved my life. My daughter certainly thinks he saved my life. And so I wake up about 4 days later. And I remember being, I mean, they got good drugs. And I remember some psychedelic, but I remember one image of, and I do, my kids are there that I'm coming out of the bed and they're holding me down. Now, I'm not saying what I've told them, I said, but what I was saying is, let me go. Let me go. I want to go now. I want to see Dixie and Lewis. I'm ready. And that was my state of mind with alcohol and everything else. I didn't really care. I was ready to go. I wasn't going to make friends. I'd left all my friends. And if that's what it is, today, when I think about that and the selfishness, not caring about your wife, not caring about your kids, the grandchildren. I mean, just that one memory enough will carry me through any one day. And that's all, I really need. And so I got out of that, and it was 10 days. You'd think that was enough, wouldn't you? It wasn't. It wasn't. Last couple of days, I mean, nobody's bitching at me. Nobody's, And I look back, who's going to tell me that I'm drinking too much? My wife, every once in a while, got to do something. Da-da-da-da-da. My brother, not. What about my employees? Hell, you going to tell Deke he drinks too much? Who do you think sets your bonus at the end of the year? I was the 800-pound gorilla. Nobody's going to tell me. Mom and dad are gone. My mom would have. My dad would have too. But who's going to tell you? So nobody ever really told me. It was up to me to decide whether I was drinking too much or not. And, if I didn't like the score I got on an online quiz, hell, there's hundreds of them out there. Sometimes I spend 3 or 4 hours to find that one that said, it would just say maybe. And I was happy with maybe. So anyway, but that wasn't enough. I kept on going. And it got worse. And I won't go through all other memories, but then I went to the mailbox March 5th, 2022. I hadn't had anything to drink in at least 24, 48 hours, nor had I had anything to eat. I thought that was good. You're not drinking, you're not eating, maybe you're going to lose some weight. And got my mail out of this kiosk, dropped a letter, bent over. Fall. I'm out 3, 4, 5 seconds, and I'm kind of I work I've got poor balance, but if somehow I'm using the back of the thing, and I'm upright, and I know I'm kind of wobbly, and I ask what turned out to be a neighbor, "Would you help me to my car so I can get home?" He said, "No." He said, "You just stay right here. We're calling an ambulance." And then, you talk about embarrassing. I wonder what that question, I wonder what that conversation was when he called you. But they took me in there, and I'm sober, and I'm listening to them. Hey guys, it's 52. Is that right? Take it again. That's my blood pressure. 52, 55, 60, whatever. So they take me in there, and one of the things I do remember, well, I remember it all, but I remember I'm Velcroed to the bed. And the emergency doctor comes in to see me, and he's really nice. And he says, "You've got the worst case of metabolic acidosis I've ever seen." But he was nice. He said, "We're doing this." Da, 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 da. And he said, "I'm going to tell you something. I want to let you know, I've already told your wife and your daughter. By the way, you have a fine family. You don't think about that." And actually, this guy had great bedside manner, but when he was telling me what he thought I needed to hear, I've never seen the eyes of a shark, but I've heard people talk about how it just turns all white. And that's what I thought I was looking at. I later found out he had been a triage surgeon in a MASH unit, two different tours in Afghanistan. So I'm thinking, I've since thought, he's looking at me thinking, son, if you were over in Afghanistan and I'm picking, you wouldn't have made the cut. And but he said you had 48 hours for a pure and simple heart attack that you would not have recovered from. And now I'm getting into what happened. That's what happened. And 5 days later, March 10th, I get out. That's when I set my date, March the 10th. And I didn't really, he knew a guy that lives up in the Falls Church area that is AA. It's been a sponsor 35, 45, 50 years. So that, he gave that name to my daughter and my wife. I had a sponsor before I'd ever talked with him. This guy says, or they told my family that he's had sponsees in all 50 states and 28 countries. And I'm saying that because not only did God remove the obsession to drink, I didn't have to go sit down with him. I said, "Lord, I've got a problem. I need you to take me." He took it. No questions asked. He took it. But not only did he do that, but he gave me a sense of open-mindedness where I didn't second guess anything. That all of these, I had the good fortune in my career. I worked for only three different people. And the first time I met them, I knew that they were smarter than I was and that I needed to listen to them. And that's a luxury. That's a luxury. Knowing somebody that, hey, they're going to tell you the truth, and you better do what they said. And so I knew I needed to do what the surgeon said. And I knew I needed to do what Tom said. Tom was my temporary sponsor. And I had lunch with him. And I remember saying, I've done a little bit of reading. I've read first, first couple of steps. I know I can't do it. I'm not gonna be able to do it on my own. I tried. I quit many, many times. And every time I made it 13 months, I was so proud of myself. I rewarded myself. And sometimes I do it after 2 weeks. But I and of course this time seen all my doctor reports, which I never had, by the way. And I said, well, I understand all this. I'm going to need, I'm going to need some help. I've got no problem with that. I'm still struggling a little bit with whether I'm really an alcoholic. He said, son, trust me, you make the cut. So I did. Until I find some reason that I'm not, I am assuming that I am. And I'm still looking, but the evidence is not coming. So anyway, he said after every bite, he said, get your sponsor. I'm temporary. Get your sponsor. I'm temporary. And he said, whatever you do, go to your meeting, get some meetings, but whatever you do, make sure one of them's a big book study. And so those are the things I did. I've done those things, and it couldn't have been without my sponsor, without the big book, I might still be struggling to figure out what's this all about. But I did that. And he said, before you fight, there's one, he gave us, what and when or when and where, and you got one right around the corner from where I'm saying you live. It's Lake of the Woods. So that was my first one. My first meeting, and he said, try some Zoom meetings, and if you can, try a speakers meeting. And so I dialed into one, and because my kids had been so supportive and been there for me, and I was a piece of me, a little piece, was beginning to think, maybe you kind of hurt them too. I asked them, would they join me on the Zoom meeting? And they did, because I wanted their reaction to what it was. I can't remember a thing that I said. What I remember was the warmth. I don't even remember where I dialed in, but I felt the warmth. And that's the only word I can say. I felt the warmth. And I don't, in a room like this, I know what it is. It's 35, 40, 98.6 body temperature. That's the warning. That ain't on, that's not there on a Zoom meeting, but the same that I got there. And so I go to Lake of the Woods, and it's the same thing. It's the same thing. First person that talks to me, Ralph. Never forget that. Meet Bentley, meet Myron. And, I don't have any friends, and I'm not thinking of them as friends, but I sure enjoyed our conversations. So I got that one under my belt. Meet Monique. Monique says, there's one right up the street here called Liberty. I get there. Park. I don't think I took somebody's spot. I know I got close to Rick's, and you might have been driving that red car at that time. But Rick walks in, so he's my first, there. So that's my second beat. I got somebody I, I like this guy, and Monique again says, there's another one. You like getting up early in the morning? One up the road, Culpepper. So I get it to Culpepper. I know this is anonymous, but I'm sorry. I have to put names with everything. And Rich comes over and sees me. He gives me a 24-hour book. And so I got a Zoom meeting, and I got three meetings. And I did make one meeting in up in Fairfax with Tom, and I had like 18 days, and I got the surrender chip there. But so all of this, I've still got an open mind, and I am analyzing this stuff. This is pretty cool. And you know what? And that a temptation to drink. Tom had told me something. I forgot this out. He said, there'll be some tough days. There'll be some tough minutes. So what you need is you need, he called them constructive decisions, thoughts you can put in your head that meet three criteria. They're true. You can say it. You can say it quickly, and you can say it in one breath or something like that. And I did have some blessings. When I'd get down, I'd always say, you know, you're blessed with two parents who I respect. Wish they were home. I still talk with them, especially my mom. A brother. My faith came very early. A good friend, a wife, and grandchildren. I got to stop today, but they keep coming. So, you know, belief in a higher power was not a struggle for me at all. It was something I understood. But it's gotten a lot stronger. So that's what happened to me. And kind of what's going on? I mean, where am I now? I'm growing. I'm growing. You know, it's irrelevant to me that there is no completion or certificate of completion. Because every time I go to a meeting, every time I listen to a share, I read a passage, I realize, wow, there's a lot more that you just don't know yet. And there's a lot more good to come.
I don't know if
my sponsor, I'm not sure, said, but relatively speaking, in my life for age of sobriety, I haven't had a lot of good times, good days, sober wise. But I've had damn well enough to know that I want a hell of a lot more of them. So that, you know, that's what happened to me. That's what's happening to me. Where am I now? I'm in a process of discovering who I am. I have not yet been given the gift. I don't know that I'll ever get it. Being able to look at me from a position outside of me and examine my relationships. I can't see that. So I have to depend on someone else to do that. And I said it before, it's satisfying to me, and I'm grateful for the fact that God is sharing with me what I need to know when he thinks I need to know it. Everybody's seen the Jack Nicholson movie. I can't ever remember the name. It's got Demi Moore in it, and Tom Cruise. And Jack's yelling. He's a military guy, and he's yelling, "You can't handle the truth." Well, God recognizes that. And not all at once, but I'll give it to you, bits and pieces. So what was it like? And that's what he gives me. And he gives me this little snippets of, remember this one, Deke? Oh, no. Yeah, that happened. That happened. And what's that do? You know, it gets me through the day. It gets me through the day. So that's what it's like. I couldn't be happier with being a part of this family. You know, you don't get to pick your family, but maybe you do. And I'm happy each of you have crossed my path and your family to me, and I can share with you. I can't do this anywhere else. And I don't want to take the family. I don't want you to take the family thing too far. I don't do gifts and I don't send Christmas cards. But you might go to the door and say, "Honey, who's there?" "It's Deke. He says he's coming to dinner." So I don't know. Anyway, what a treat. What a pleasure to be here. Took a quick, I've looked at page 29 several times. What a wonderful format this is. The challenges, the aims to describe, to share how you establish your relationship with God. In my case, I changed the words up a little bit. I reestablished it. I deepened it. I'm learning how broad it is and how little I was using. And the other aim is that somebody, us, whatever, sees that, you know, I'm just like you. We all ended up the same place, a lot of different routes to get here, but we all ended up at the same place. But I'm just like you. And y'all read it this morning. To open this up, you know. I want what you got. I want what you got. It's worth getting. And I want what you got. And I'm Deke, and I'm an alcoholic, and I'm proud and happy to be here. Thank y'all.